Okay, so for those who don't know, we're doing a series on dinner with Jesus, different meals that Jesus had. And today is quite a serious one. Well, last week was very, very serious too, actually. It was a wonderful message last week. But today is about really about the difference between religion, outward religion, external performance, and inward reality, which when Jesus spoke to Mary, as Tony said, he said, one thing is necessary to be listening and knowing Jesus, like Paul said, intimacy, inward reality. And in this story today, Jesus clashes with those who are only interested in the outward and they're hollow inside or full of evil. So the religious elite, he gets invited to dinner by the religious elite. This wasn't a nice dinner party. I mean, most of you, when you go for dinner, it's nice. This was an unpleasant dinner party. Have you ever been invited to a dinner where there was tension? I have three times. And three times they invited me in order to have a go at me. I think once it was probably merited. But the other two times, it was a bit like this. It was just religiousness persecuting, me as a Christian, I believe. Now, they didn't have newspapers in those days, but if you imagine if there was a newspaper, they would have reported that Jesus seems to hang around with sinners. You know, he's very happy to have parties with tax collectors, prostitutes, people that are broken, the down and outs. But he always seemed to clash with the religious. The biggest enemy of Jesus was the religious people. Do you know why? Here's one big reason. Tax collectors, hope there are none here, they kind of know they need forgiveness, or they know they need help. A prostitute, deep down, would know they need, there's no covering up. Whereas a religious person can say, I'm all right, Jack. I don't need a savior. I'm perfectly fine, thank you very much. And that is why he had so many problems with religious people. And that's a snare, by the way, the snare for catching animals. And when the Pharisee invited Jesus to dinner, it was a snare. It was designed to trap Jesus in his words because they wanted to find things they could say about him in a court to accuse him. Now, before we look at the passage, have you ever heard of the phrase, "Oh, you got roasted," or "He roasted so and so"? Well, it's like when you really dress someone down and put them in their place. Well, Jesus roasted the Pharisees. He roasted them. They came to catch him, but he spoke strongly to them, and he used this word, "Woe." The word woe is a kind of funeral lament. It's a very, very powerful groan from the belly, if you like. And he said it six times in Luke. He said, woe to you Pharisees, woe to you Pharisees, woe to you Pharisees, and woe to you experts in the law. Those aren't solicitors, by the way, but they were religious people looking at the religious laws. In Matthew's gospel, he says it eight times. Now, before we look at the verses, I want to just say the big point of this story. The big point is that every religion, human religion, every religious performance system has markers that dictate whether you're in or out. You're either part of the club or you're not part of the club. You're either kosher or you're not kosher. So, if you do this and this, you're in. And if you don't do it, you're out. That's what man-made religion is like. It's all external performance. Whereas Jesus comes to look at what's inside. Now, that's a car with its bonnet up. If you don't remember anything else today, remember this. Jesus is interested in what's under the bonnet. He wants to look under your bonnet, if you like. And he's interested in the things we heard about last week. Like, are you in love with the Lord? Because you can be. Do you have a relationship with him? Are you intimate? Are you listening to his teaching? Or is it just go to church on Sunday, look good, perform, and the rest of the day you're as dry as dust? Now, I've got a car at home. I'm blessed with two cars, but one of my cars, it looks quite nice on the outside, but when you lift the bonnet up, it's horrible. It's like that. My car, it's got rust in under the bonnet. It's got grime. It's green. It's got green stuff growing in there. This is all my fault because I should clean it, I suppose. But that's what Jesus is doing. He's looking under the bonnet. If you want a different analogy, if you're not into cars, then what about the scalpel? The scalpel for the surgeon. You know, Jesus exposes below the surface of religion to look at what's driving these Pharisees, what's making them do what they do. And what does Jesus discover? He discovers these sorts of things. He exposes them with his scalpel. They're a bit like stage actors. They do things to be seen by others, to draw attention to themselves. You know, we read, they like to be greeted in the marketplace. They like the best seats in the synagogues. It's a bit like a selfie. Do you ever do selfies with your phone? We get seen by these selfie sticks, can't you? Well, the Pharisees were like, self-promotion. Look at me. I'm religious. Look what I do. I'm pious. And Jesus says, I'm not interested in that. What's under the bonnet? They do things for greedy, selfish motives. You know, it says in the Bible, the Pharisees were lovers of money. They didn't love God. They loved money. Position, respect. And they had no love for God, really, or maybe very little, hardly any. I would say no love for God, and they had no love for their neighbor. And Jesus is interested in two things, love for God and love for people. The two great commandments, not religious pretense. Now, I don't want you to go home feeling beaten up today, because I want to tell you this story isn't really written primarily to us. If you are seeking to follow Jesus and you're a disciple, you were not the primary audience. It was aimed at people who were hostile to Jesus, who were religious and rejecting Jesus. So you're not the primary target of this story today. But nonetheless, it can speak to us, even though it's not aimed directly at us. We can overhear Jesus challenging us too. These people, the Pharisees, they had already decided that Jesus was satanic. Can you believe it? They'd said Jesus was possessed by devils, they said. Luke 11:15, it says, by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. And Jesus himself predicted about these people that they would kill him. They hated him. He said in Luke 9, that Jesus talking about himself, he says he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. So these people hated Jesus. Okay, so it's not aimed primarily at us, these woes. But as I said, we can overhear this roasting of the Pharisees, and it can also challenge us to examine our own hearts. Staying in the medical theme, we've done a scalpel. Think about Jesus a bit like a doctor. Dr. Jesus, not Doctor Who. I know some of you like Doctor Who. Dr. Jesus, you are invited to come to Dr. Jesus today. And if you are aware in your life as a Christian, areas of hypocrisy, areas where your public persona doesn't really match up to your inward state, that you know that you're presenting an image on a Sunday that isn't quite the same as what happens on a Friday night. If you're aware of that, don't feel beaten up, but come to Dr. Jesus. He invites you and he says, ask for my help and I will help you improve in that area. I will help you grow so that you don't behave hypocritically. It's a healthy thing to come to Dr. Jesus. Jesus said, is it not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick? You know that word healthy. So my heart for you this morning is this. These woes were really aimed at religious people who hated Christ, but we can learn from them. Come to Jesus if you feel convicted about an area in your life. Come to the doctor and he can healthily help you if you ask him for help. Okay? Let me give one example. Not picking on anyone, but swearing. I don't know whether you ever get tempted to speak what I call a bit of French. When you're under stress, when you're under pressure. Well, really, as a Christian, we shouldn't be cussing and swearing. And that might be an area where, I mean, you wouldn't swear on a Sunday here. I don't think you would. But that may be a tiny area where you say, Lord, I fail in that area, help me. And you come to Jesus asking and admitting your honest need. That's just one example, but it could be loads. Now, let's just look at what happened before the meal. As we read, the Pharisee was surprised that Jesus didn't wash. It says the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. And the Lord said to him, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people. You're not the one who made the outside make the inside also. But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. I just want to show you an object to keep you awake. Here's a bowl, right? Now, on the shelf, it looks nice and fine. Looks good. But if you look inside, would you eat your cornflakes from this bowl? Got some kind of fungi growing in it, which I put in there yesterday. The point is, Jesus is saying, if you are just interested in outward show and religion, you're missing the point. It's pointless to wash the outside of a bowl and look good if you're not dealing with what's on the inside. Pointless. Let me give you another example. A bit like if you struggle on the internet with sexual temptation, you could clean the outside of the bowl. What does that mean? I mean, you clean your Google search history. You clean the browser so no one can see what I've done. But that doesn't deal with what's inside. It doesn't deal with the problem. And Jesus wants to deal with what's the inside. And he's not condemning anyone today. He's just saying, come to me, Dr. Jesus, ask me for help. Either privately, you pray to him, say, Lord, help me in that area. Or you talk with someone you trust, ask them to pray with you. Don't be like a bowl. Looks good on the outside, but inside. I'm not picking on anyone who does washing up at Christchurch Yule, but occasionally I go into the kitchen at Christchurch Yule, fancy a coffee, grab a coffee cup, pull it out. It looks nice on the shelf. When you look inside, it's got all stains and coffee and tea still in it from the previous user. Okay, you get the idea. Clean on the inside? Question mark. You see, just very quickly, the Pharisees, this is what is written about the Pharisees. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 5, everything they do is for people to see. But inside, full of greed and wickedness, we've read that. And then the Pharisees were lovers of money. This is what we call being a hypocrite. Hypocrite comes from the Greek word for stage actor, where you used to put on a mask and you put on a smiley, kind of smiley mask, and like the lady in that picture, to be an act of pretense. Okay, let's look at the woes. There are six of them, but I will be pretty quick on some of them. But there are six woes or warnings that Jesus gave to those who are only interested in
religion and self-image. First one is to do with herbs. He said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, when you neglect justice and the love of God." That's what God's interested in. "You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." What's this all about? Well, basically, in the Old Testament, it was a good idea, it was a good rule of thumb to give away a tenth of what you had to help the poor. It could be food or it could be some money, to help the financially vulnerable, to help the priests in the temple, to help the servants in the temple. It was a good idea, it was a good rule to give away generously some of your income or some of your food to help someone. And it showed that you loved God. It showed that you loved God. But what the Pharisees were doing, well, they were going, "We don't just do that. We also give away our herbs and our mint. Aren't we super, super serious? Aren't we super spiritual? We even give away the herbs from our garden." And it's just pathetic. There's nothing in the Bible anywhere about giving away your herbs. I mean, the rue is basically a weed. The weed in your garden. There's nothing in there about it. And it's silly. And it's just designed to impress and say, look at this, to give them kudos. Say, look at us, Pharisees. We're really spiritual. We even give away those things. But did you know that herbs and mints cost nothing? They were cheap as chips, if I can use that phrase. You go and buy a packet of mint down the shop. What is it? £4, £2? It's not much. Imagine if I did this. This is stupid. I'm just going to show you. Got a couple of herb things I nicked from Karina's kitchen. We've got dill here and rosemary. Imagine if I was to go around going, look at me. Look at me. This is stupid, isn't it? Look at me. I'm giving a tent. Giving that to the poor. That's not going to feed them much, is it? Foolish people, Jesus said. You see, what they were doing, really, they were replacing loving people with fake giving. Fake giving, fake religion. It was like, look at us. But they didn't love people. They loved themselves. And that's what Jesus hated. The second woe, very similar to the first. It's all about image. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace. All they were looking at was the approval of men and women. Whereas it's what God thinks that matters. It's not what human beings think. Because, you know, if you live just for pleasing other people and not God, you won't get any reward in the next life. No more reward. Jesus said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The third woe, and this is quite a chilling one. Jesus said to these religious people that were only interested in outward performance and no inward reality, he said, woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it. Now, the thing about an unmarked grave is, according to the Bible, it made you unclean. You weren't allowed to touch a dead body in the Old Testament. It made you ceremonially and ritually unclean. And if you were to walk on a grave that wasn't marked, you would become contaminated. That's what Jesus is getting at here. And what he's saying is, you Pharisees, people are coming to you as teachers. They're coming to you because they want to know God. They think by coming to you, they're going to know God better. And actually,
There's no warning around, there's no warning sign around you, just like an unmarked grave doesn't have a warning saying death here or contamination here. You know, people are going to these religious leaders who are all for show, and they're being affected by deathliness. And there's no warning about it. And I just want to say that if we, as Christians, begin to live purely for outward show and no inward relationship with Christ, we too might contaminate other people in some way, lead them astray. I don't know if you've ever been to a church where this kind of thing happens, where you go there looking for God and you meet maybe someone who you feel is a bit off. You ever had that? There are out there false teachers. Now, I'm not beefing ourselves up and saying, Christchurch, you're the best. Hooray to us and boo to everyone else. I'm not saying that. But there are fake churches or fake religious teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, wolves who are out to devour Christians, not to really feed them. And I just want to tell you a story. I once went to a meeting in London. I took a group of friends there because I thought it was a great meeting to go to. And we went there. I won't say the name of the speaker, a very international, famous speaker. And we got there, and there was something fake. There was a fake healing where this guy made a leg grow and to the same length as the other one. But apparently he'd been doing it all the last 6 weeks in all the other churches too. Everywhere he went, someone's leg grew. Everywhere he went, someone had one leg shorter than another. That's a bit suspect. And I remember I took a lady with me. She was the wife of a vicar, and she said, I don't like this guy. Have you ever had an experience like that? That you kind of, a bit like an unmarked grave. There's no warning, though. You just kind of find out. And maybe you've been in a church that's kind of abusive like that in the past. I don't know. But Jesus wants to encourage you today. If you've gone to that kind of a church, or if you've been under that kind of a teaching, Jesus can wash you clean, restore you, help you unlearn the stuff you may have learned under a false teacher. Sometimes God wants us to unlearn things. Just quickly, like when I learned to swim, I had to unlearn something, because when I learned to swim, I did the crawl like this. I'd put my arm out and then I'd just go left, right, left, right, and my head would go ding, ding, ding above the water. Now, if you know how to swim, when you do the crawl, you're supposed to put your head under the water, aren't you? And sort of, and I had to learn that skill. I had to unlearn the bad way of doing it, and I had to learn the right way to swim. And all I want to say is, if you've been in a church where it's a bit weird, Jesus can help you unlearn and come to real truth. And I just want to finish that point by mentioning a lady I knew in Orpington. And she had gone through a terrible church experience. She had been abused quite badly in the church. And one day we were hanging a banner up outside our church in Orpington on a fence. And she walked up to us and said, oh, you're a church, are you? She said, I've had a really bad experience of some churches, but I'm going to give yours a go. And she came to us. It took a long, long time. She was very anorexic. She was very traumatized. But in the end, she got so blessed of God, and she got baptized, and she's really on fire for the Lord to this day. So what I'm trying to say to you is, God can restore people who had a bad experience of false teachers. Okay, there's a false teacher. Wolf in sheep's clothing. And then the experts of the law get offended. Now, those are not solicitors. They are the people that analyze the law and even tell the Pharisees what to do. They get offended.
And Jesus says to them, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. The teachers of the law, these experts of the law, basically were giving a lot of stuff and a lot of rules that are silly. Now, I was in a church once, years ago, not my last one, where there was this kind of rule being said from the front that you're not allowed to wear jeans. Sorry, pull your palms at you. Because someone said, jeans are a symbol of the world. And then someone else said, and you're not allowed to wear black and red because they're the colors of the devil. So, Phil, sorry, mate. You. But as you notice, I am wearing black and red. Wait, where's that in the Bible? Silly little rules. I mean, I know of another church where you're not allowed to hang your washing out on a Sunday. Well, what if you need to? I mean, the Jewish people took it even further. I know of some Orthodox Jewish groups where you're not allowed to switch the light on a Sabbath because that's considered work. And then they give you toilet paper in loose sheets because you're not allowed to rip the toilet roll because that's work. I mean, religion can go a bit silly sometimes. Jesus hates all that. He says, look, I want people who love God and love people. And yeah, anyway, I've made my point. Jesus actually said, didn't he? Come to me, all who are tired from burdens, carrying heavy loads, all this religious nonsense that people pile on you, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus' heart. You know what, you're carrying all this other stuff around. Then the last two woes, we're nearly done. I'll put them together to save time. He says, woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets. It was your ancestors who killed them. And he's basically saying there, you religious people, you always kill. You kill true messengers of God. You don't want to listen to true teaching. And then he said, woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. You see, when you get teachers and leaders who give a lot of external religion, what's the effect? You take away the key of knowledge. I think the key of knowledge is Jesus himself. You get Jesus out of the way, and you produce people that all they're interested in is what they look like, not a savior. They don't want a savior to rescue them. That's the kind of people religion produces. So, to conclude, how might we respond to these woes? Because they weren't really aimed at us. They were aimed at the religious Pharisees. Well, we could respond like the Pharisees. You know what they did? They didn't want a savior. They began to oppose him fiercely, it says, and besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. He'd already said six things to them, but apparently they didn't count. What did the Pharisees do? They went like this. They went, la, 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 I can't hear you. I'm fine, thank you. I don't need a savior. I don't need you to rescue me. I'm fine with my religion. Don't you dare tell me I need rescuing. That's what they did. We can be like that if we want. But Jesus said, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Something that's different on the outside to what it's really like on the inside. Yeast, you see, the thing about yeast is it spreads through the dough, through the bread. And if there's hypocrisy in my life. You know, if I'm standing here preaching to you, and on a Friday night I'm down the pub getting hammered and seeing different women, and I don't know what, you know, just imagine if I'm hypocritical, I'm a hypocrite preaching to you, then it's like yeast. It will affect the church. It will affect you. And if you and I are hypocritical, it can have an effect. One effect it might be is that you pretend to be more holy than you are, and then other people look at you and think, oh, they're holy, and they pretend to be more holy than they are, and it kind of spreads this fake holiness around the place. I wrote down some examples of how the yeast can spread. I've nearly finished. Here we are. Yeah, pretending to be more holy than we are. The pressure to copy someone. Oh, look, he's holy. I better be like that. Unwillingness to confess sin or ask for any help. You know, what will people think of me? Being comfortable with our private sins unless God reveals them. I mean, Jesus said later, he said, what is said in the dark will be proclaimed in the light. What is said in the secret place will be proclaimed in the public places. What Jesus is saying is you can't hide hypocrisy. In the end, it will be revealed on the day of judgment or before. So it can spread like yeast. And Jesus said, don't. So, final two slides. This is how I think we should respond to this quite serious message. Just do this. We kind of did it at communion, actually. Do this each day. Examine ourselves. Humbly admit if we need help to be less hypocritical in one specific area. Then come to Jesus, asking him to help us change. Simple, isn't it? God loves you. He loves you. He knows all about you. But if you've got an area that you struggle, just come to Dr. Jesus. It's healthy. He will help you deal with it. Don't cover it up. Pretend you're fine. Because if you're sad about your sin, if you mourn about it, Jesus said this. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you mourn about something that you know is not matching up, God will comfort you. He will come and comfort you. He will help you. So that's all I had to say today. I hope it helps or is a bit of a challenge. So let's pray before we sing. Lord, thank you that you love everyone here. Absolutely, you died for them. But you don't want fake religion. You don't want outward show. You want inner reality. And I pray for anyone here, Lord, if there's anything that's that we know is not quite matching how we perform our public persona, please help that person to come to you because you want to help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.